This is Washington Watch Weekly, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Now, here's our host, the president of the Family Research Council, Tony Perkins.
Hello and welcome to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Coming up, what can possibly be more important in preserving and promoting a constitutional republic than an informed, engaged, and legal electorate? Kansas Secretary of State Kris Kobach has the answer. And Congressman Randy Forbes of Virginia weighs in on the recent controversy at the U.S. Air Force Academy. By the way, the Air Force says religious expression does not include written or verbal speech. Then what does it include? Liberty Institute attorney Michael Berry has the answer. And let me encourage you to go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Find out more about our guest on this weekend edition of Washington Watch. Also, you can sign up for my daily update right there on the website, TonyPerkins.com. Well, some good news coming out of Kansas and Arizona this past Wednesday. A U.S. District Court judge has ruled the states have the right to require anyone registering to vote in their state to prove their citizenship without the Federal Election Assistance Commission blocking their efforts. This has been a hot-button issue for some time now, and this is a big win for states' rights. Kansas Secretary of State Kris Kobach said Wednesday that, quote, "We've seen so many defeats recently in areas where the federal government has been encroaching on states' authority, and this time the good guys won," end quote. Kansas Secretary of State Kris Kobach joined me on Thursday with more on the decision. Well, congratulations. Your persistence paid off here in, I think, securing a major victory, not only for your state of Kansas, but I would say for the whole country.
Well, I hope other states will follow. You know, Kansas and Arizona are two of the first states that have required proof of citizenship for people to register to vote. But Alabama did recently after we did, and Georgia did as well just before Kansas did. So we've got four states already, and hopefully you know, your listeners can put a little pressure on their legislators and say, hey, we'd like to secure our voter rolls too. It's a really persistent problem.
Kris, give for those of our listeners who may not have been tracking this issue, because it's been out of the news for a little bit, what is so significant? What drove you to continue pushing this issue until you succeeded at the court?
Well, the problem is a longstanding one, and we've got cases going back years in this country of aliens usually being manipulated by someone who's trying to steal an election or trying to influence an election. You know, they're told, hey, you can vote. You know, they may not know that they're breaking federal and state law, but they go ahead and register to vote. So I can give you a couple recent examples in our neck of the woods. Kansas City, Missouri in 2010 in the Democrat primary for the state legislature. About 50 Somali nationals were registered to vote and persuaded, coached to vote for one candidate, and that guy ended up winning by one vote. In Kansas, in my state, in 1997, some alien employees of a meatpacking plant across the border in Oklahoma were encouraged to register to vote in Kansas to help sway a county referendum on a hog farming operation. Fortunately, they didn't steal the election in that case, but, you know, we have time and again, we're usually in smaller elections, county or state legislature elections, where if you can get 50 or 100 votes, you can steal it. That's where we see this happening. And so I decided that, hey, this is a problem we can solve. It's not rocket science. If you check people at the front end when they're registering to vote, you can stop aliens from getting on the rolls. But if you try to find them once they're on the rolls, good luck. It's like searching for a needle in a haystack.
Kris, I'd have to say, to me, this is a no-brainer. Now, we dealt with this back in the 90s in Louisiana when I was in the legislature there. But you have to have a license to cash a check, to get a prescription. Why? I mean, to drive a car? I mean, if you can drive a car and you have to have a license, if you're going to, you know, drive the country over the edge, you ought to have to be able to show an ID as well.
Yeah. I mean, this is our most cherished right of citizenship. And we have that for protection as well, photo ID on voting day. And for absentee ballots, we have equivalent protection. Yeah, it seems to me that the critical points are when a person registers, we want to make sure that person is a U.S. citizen. And on the election day or in the voting period running up to the election, we've got to make sure that people aren't fraudulently casting other people's ballots. And that, too, is something that has happened. And I think we've successfully in Kansas passed a very stringent set of rules that make it easy to vote but hard to cheat. And that really ought to be our objective, I think.
Why the opposition? Why are people opposed to this?
Well, as you know, it tends to come from groups on the radical left, and they make all kinds of claims asserting that it's going to be harder to vote or harder to register, but they have great difficulty demonstrating that it's actually harder or statistically showing that it produces reduced turnout, when in fact the opposite seems to occur. People have greater confidence in their elections when they know they're secure. I don't know. I think some of these groups just want the loosey-goosey kind of system that allows fraud to occur because they perhaps feel they can benefit from that fraud. But whatever their motivation, I know, you know, what they're seeking is not correct, and it hurts our representative system.
What do you think the Justice Department or the EAC will do based upon the ruling of Judge Milgren in this case?
Well, I'd like to think they'd see the wisdom of his well-written ruling, but I know better. We've seen the Obama Justice Department be very tenacious in opposing states that are asserting their constitutional rights. I argued the case on behalf of the states of Kansas and Arizona, and I don't foresee that even if the Justice Department backs down, there's a host of defendant interveners in the case, a bunch of liberal interest groups that probably won't back down either. So I expect they'll probably appeal to the Tenth Circuit, and we'll happily meet them there in court.
All right, Secretary Kobach, thanks so much for being with us, and again, congratulations on a job well done.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
That was Secretary of State for the state of Kansas, Chris Kobach. To find out more about this case and what Secretary of State Kobach is working on, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. All right, when we come back, Congressman Randy Forbes of Virginia joins us to talk about the recent controversy at the U.S. Air Force Academy. That's next on the weekend edition of Washington Watch.
President Obama has proved himself willing to violate the public trust we placed in him as chief executive. Whether it's his overreach in the Affordable Care Act or his political appointees at the IRS targeting conservative groups, here at FRC, we are concerned. Such dishonest and unethical behavior will have grave implications on the things we hold dear: the protection of human life, the health of the family, and religious liberty. For more information, visit frc.org/abuse of power.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us this weekend. Let me encourage you to go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about the topics we're discussing here on the weekend edition. You can also sign up for my daily update. Keeps you updated on things as it pertains to faith, family, and freedom. Monday through Friday comes to you free of charge right there in your inbox. Well, recently, the House Armed Services Committee held a hearing on the 2015 National Defense Authorization budget request from the Air Force. But at times, the budget took a back seat to the growing religious liberty problem that's happening within the Air Force. Now, last Friday, Congressman Randy Forbes, who represents the 4th Congressional District of Virginia, joined me and expressed his concern about what is happening within the Air Force as it pertains to religious freedom. This is what Congressman Forbes had to say in that committee hearing.
The facts that I've received from the Air Force, so these aren't hypotheticals, is that this cadet had no intention to offend anyone or any group. Number two, that the private whiteboards have long been used to display items reflecting their personality and from which they draw personal inspiration. Number three, they've long been used for citing inspirational quotes. And fourth, this is perhaps the most offensive. The Air Force said this was a teaching moment, that the cadet's action in putting the Bible verse on was inappropriate based upon leadership principles. General and Madam Secretary, that cadet's family, the other cadets who are now putting up Bible verses and verses from the Quran, can't stand in front of you today, but I can. And here's the question I have for you. Can you tell me any other inspirational quotes that cadets have been forced to remove from their personal whiteboards other than verses from the Bible?
Well, joining me now is Congressman Randy Forbes. He represents the 4th Congressional District of Virginia, and as I mentioned, he is a member of the House Armed Services Committee, and that was the question he asked this morning. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, it's always great to be with you.
All right, what was their answer?
Well, they can't give much of an answer, Tony. This is an egregious situation, and it seems like since this administration has come into office, we have had so many attacks
on faith across the country, and the Air Force always seems to be right at the tip of that. But, Tony, in this situation, it is, as many of your listeners probably know, in college campuses today and in the dorms, the students have something called a whiteboard, which they normally keep right on their door or right outside their dormitory room. And they put all kinds of personal things on that. They'll say, I'm at the library studying, or go Air Force, or anything else. And we are told that they always put inspirational quotes and things like that on there. This cadet simply put on there a verse out of Galatians. And as you heard me cite the Air Force's facts, these aren't hypotheticals, he had no intention of offending anyone. They always use these for personal statements about that individual. No proselytizing in there at all. And he was forced to take this quote down. And it is just absolutely a travesty.
Now, I'm holding in my hand 5 pages that catalog series of events just within the Air Force of attacks on religious freedom. And I think it was made reference to today in the committee meeting that took place, because the General Welsh was kind of dismissive of this, basically saying, well, that was Fox News and they don't get their facts right. But there's too many of these to suggest that somehow somebody is making this up and it's simply a perception of religious persecution.
Tony, a couple of things on that, and that's exactly what he said. But if you look at the pattern with the Air Force, they started out with these attacks saying, look, all we're trying to do is keep people from proselytizing because we have some commanders who are forcing their faith on other people. And it's hard for anybody to argue with that. But they come so far now, Tony, where this is a student. He's not a commander. And he's putting it on his own personal board. And they're making him take that off. And the facts that I have here, Tony, aren't some writer that put them out. It's not some emotional parent. This is from the Air Force themselves, that they responded to me and gave me those facts that I just cited to you. And one other thing, Tony, to see how far this stuff is coming now. The reason this is so personal to me is several years ago, I had a son that was at college, and we had brought 2 of our younger children in to see him. And as you walk down the hall on these boards, they have some of the worst language and stuff on there anybody can imagine. They're college kids. You expect that kind of thing. But when we left, my son was kind of embarrassed that his brother and sister had to see all of that. So, Tony, he went back on his board, and he just wrote, he lives. That's all he wrote. He went to bed, and late that night, someone in his dorm who literally weighed about 100 pounds more than he did came in a drunken stupor and said, we don't want any of this faith stuff, and literally beat him up. Do you know what the president or the head, the administration of the university, this was James Madison University, did? They made my son move, not the individual that beat him up. And that's where we're going with these situations. And Tony, just one last thing. The chief of staff today in response came back and said that he was a person of faith. And I don't question that. I'm sure he's a good person. But for all your listeners, you've got pastors out there today listening to this program that are people of faith and they're good people. You've got listeners that are people of faith and good people. You've got elected officials. But to the extent we sit back and do nothing, while these attacks get worse and worse and continue to grow, we share the culpability. And one day you wake up and it's no longer somebody else's son or grandson. It's your son or grandson that's being attacked for what he believes in.
You know, I'll have to tell you, Congressman, from my perspective, my perception is that Mikey Weinstein is running the Air Force when it comes to their policy as it pertains to religious freedom. And that's what's created this reality of hostility in our military. I mean, you go back, now, in May of last year, 2013, the Air Force released this new manual, which was apparently a part of the input that they received from Mikey Weinstein, who is kind of this anti-Christian crusader with the Military Religious Freedom Federation, I think he calls himself. But they introduced the Air Force Manual Instruction 1-1, Government Neutrality Regarding Religion. And what this says, there's a lot of confusion when it comes to this proselytizing. And you and I are in agreement on this, that no one should force their religion on anyone, but they shouldn't have to hide their religion. And their standard, which appears to be what they're using here with the cadets, is that anything that would make someone uncomfortable violates the policy.
As you know, the First Amendment doesn't say that you have freedom of speech and you have freedom of religion as long as it doesn't upset anybody else. I cited to the general today and to the Air Force secretary, I have in my office, the same office, the same door this general walks in to brief me on information about the Air Force, our national motto, In God We Trust. I've cited chairman after chairman on that committee, subcommittee, chairman across the House of Representatives, the Speaker of the House, all who have In God We Trust on our course. We know some people don't like that. They filed suits to take that off. And I asked them today, are you telling me that the principles of leadership you're teaching in the Air Force suggest that we should pull that off of our doors just because somebody doesn't like it? And if that's not the case, Tony, then why should a cadet in the United States Air Force who's trying to defend our country and protect our freedoms, why should he have any less right to the freedom of religion and religious liberties than a member of Congress should have? And the answer is he shouldn't have.
What was their response? Did they respond at all?
The one thing they always come back to, and the chief said this, first of all, what you said, that many of these stories just aren't true and they're inaccurate. But again, this one was based on the Air Force's own recounting of this. And then the second thing is they dared to say that this cadet did this voluntarily. But, Tony, based on the information given to me by the Air Force, it says specifically the entire Air Force chain of command got involved, including, and this is a quote, the air officer commanding, and went to him about this. Now, you put yourself in that cadet's position, and you're hit with your whole chain of command.
Absolutely.
And they're telling you, it'd be nice to pull this off. And then they'd say that's voluntarily. And Tony, what's happening, just two points quickly, is one is it creates this enormous chilling effect where people are scared to death to say anything about what they believe. But the second thing is this, to all of those people who are listening to this today, and we sit back and do nothing, I emphasize we become just as culpable. And I hear people across the country saying, what can I do? They can write a letter. They can send an email to the Secretary of the Air Force, to the Chief of Staff of the Air Force. They can contact their congressman or the White House and just say, enough is enough. They can get their churches involved. And if we have hundreds of thousands of people who start standing up when these attacks take place, Tony, we can push this back and stop it. But if we don't, we will go quietly into the night and wake up and have lost all of our religious freedoms and religious liberties.
Again, that was Congressman Randy Forbes of Virginia. He's also a member of the House Armed Services Committee. Coming up next, the Air Force says religious expression does not include written or verbal speech. What does it include? Well, Liberty Institute attorney Michael Berry has the answer when we return right here on the weekend edition of Washington Watch. Don't go away.
We are grateful for our military, for the men and women who have risked their lives so we can be free. Free to speak our minds, to associate, and to practice our faith. Many members of our military have a strong Christian faith, one that supports and motivates their sacrifice. Some of them, however, are facing pressure to abandon that faith. We won't stand for that. We believe their religious freedom is worth protecting. To follow this issue on Facebook or Twitter, find us at #MilitaryFreedom.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Thanks so much for being with us. To find out more about the topics we're covering today, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Find out more about our guest and the topics, as well as sign up, if you've not already signed up, for my daily update and the alerts that we send out from Washington right there on the website, TonyPerkins.com. Well, after the House Armed Services Committee hearing last Friday with the Air Force leadership that we just talked about with Congressman Forbes, things quickly turned to what is actually happening to these cadets at the academy, answers finally began to come to light. And I don't think you'll like what the Air Force had to say. Michael Berry, an attorney for Liberty Institute, spoke with the Academy staff judge advocate general, who said that religious expression in the Air Force does not include written or verbal communication. You heard me right. Religious expression in the Air Force does not include written or verbal communication. Well, isn't it nice to know the Air Force believes it's okay for these airmen to think about God, but that's it. Liberty Institute Director of Military Affairs, Michael Berry, joined me with more last Tuesday. Well, Michael, last week you actually traveled out to the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, met with some of the cadets, also sat down and spoke to the Air Force Academy staff judge advocate about what's happening there at the Air Force Academy.
That's right. And, when I met with the cadets, these are cadets of various religious backgrounds, they made one thing very, very clear, and that's that being able to write, messages, whether they be funny messages, whether they be just simply, hey, Joe, let's go play basketball tonight, pick me up at 7, or whether they be something inspirational, something from which they draw inspiration, such as a scriptural reference or even a quote from, Vince Lombardi or someone like that, that's something that they've always traditionally been able to do and they want to be able to continue doing, but they don't know whether they're allowed to do that or not. The Air Force Academy has not really published or disseminated clear guidance to that effect, and they weren't sure whether they were going to be punished or disciplined, or and if not, then why wasn't the one cadet allowed to keep his Bible verse up? I asked that question to the staff judge advocate there, and he said, well, look, the cadet in question actually voluntarily removed the verse after some of his fellow cadets kind of pulled him aside and explained what the appropriateness or inappropriateness of that. So, if the cadet really did remove it voluntarily, that's fine. I do have maybe a little bit of take issue with the peer pressure tactic, so to speak, but that's still the cadet's choice. The troubling aspect of this case really arose when I asked, what if the cadet had decided he wanted to keep the verse up, in essence rejected his peer's advice? And the response was that likely they would have advised, the staff judge advocate, as was his duty to do so, would have advised the commanding officer of what the legal policy is, what the law is. And that would be to the effect that they would have to either tell the cadet to remove the verse or they would remove the verse for the cadet. And I said, that's ridiculous. I mean, this is still the United States. We still have the Constitution. This cadet, as a service member, has the right under the Constitution, under federal law, and under DOD, military regulations, to freely express his sincerely held religious beliefs. And the response was perhaps even more shocking, which is, while we do swear an oath to the Constitution, we're bound by these Air Force regulations. And this all appears to stem from an Air Force policy memorandum that was issued in March of 2013, which interprets federal law, interprets the provision of the National Defense Authorization Act from 2013 to mean that religious service members or airmen in the Air Force specifically, they're entitled to believe whatever they want when it comes to religion. But speech and actions that stem from that belief are not necessarily protected.
So the message being sent here is, if you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have to keep that confined to the four walls of your room or between your two ears and not let it escape in any form or fashion.
That's absolutely right, and that's actually consistent with the message that we've been getting from the civilian part of our federal government, which is that you have the freedom of worship, but that, in essence, must remain within the four walls of your religious organization or institution. That once you leave the four walls of your church or synagogue or mosque, that's it. You don't have the same freedom that you have inside those four walls, and now we're seeing that extended to the military, or at least specifically to the Air Force, as you just said. Within your mind or your spirit or whatever it happens to be, you have the freedom to worship, to believe, etc. But In the Air Force specific, the JAG's policy memorandum specifically says acts and speech stemming from those religious beliefs are not necessarily protected and may be punishable. So there's a specter of punishment, whatever that might be, for somebody who simply
right.
feels compelled by their religious faith yeah. to live out that faith.
Now, Michael, we saw that some of these cadets kind of pushed back, and after they initially made the this one cadet remove Galatians 2:20 from his whiteboard, that all of a sudden there were cadets throughout the academy writing verses, both from the Bible, from the Quran, and other inspirational messages. Was that an isolated rebellion, or is there something brewing there at the Air Force Academy pushing back against this this suppression?
Well, I think it might be a little bit of both. That in this instance, it may be isolated just to 10 or 12 or 15 cadets, but keep in mind that's what these cadets are trained to do. Is you know, as are all good service members, is that when we see one of our own in trouble or being kind of singled out, we have a tendency to rally around them in a show of solidarity. So I think that's what we saw with respect to this specific incident. But I do think that it is indicative of a larger, and this is confirmed by what the cadets that I spoke with told me, is that there's some growing frustration. I know that, you know, there's a gentleman by the name of Mikey Weinstein who loves to instigate these issues and create this perception that people are walking around the halls of the Air Force Academy and literally being knocked over in a stupor when they read a Bible verse. And the cadets are upset by that. They're frustrated that that's the perception that's being painted about them. And I said, well, what is your opinion of Mikey Weinstein then? Is he a great advocate for religious freedom? And they said, you know, really, we just perceive him as a nuisance, which I think is accurate.
That was Liberty Institute attorney Michael Berry. To find out more about this topic, which continues to unfold day by day, go to the website tonyperkins.com and follow the links over. Well, folks, thanks so much for being with us this weekend. And again, I want to encourage you to sign up for my daily update free of charge. Comes to you Monday through Friday. Keeps you informed on the issues affecting faith, family, and freedom. To do so, go to the website tonyperkins.com. Well, we're out of time for this weekend. Thanks so much for being with us, and I hope you'll tune in again next weekend. Until then, remember the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul. When we've done everything we can do, when we've prayed, we've prepared, and we've taken our stand, just keep standing.
Washington Watch Weekly is a donor-supported ministry of the Family Research Council.